To illustrate just how powerfully these various factors intertwine to shape the source materials from the history of espionage, I would like to dig a little into the first raw Soviet secret police files I ever read, the Следственные дела, or investigative files, of Italian communist Edmundo Peluzzo. Peluzzo had, like most European communist activists, fled the rise of fascism in Mussolini's Italy in the 1930s by moving to the Soviet Union. There he found sanctuary and joined the main arm of Soviet international spy operations, the Communist International, where he apparently assisted in running covert communist anti-fascist operations inside Italy. The problem was that Stalin came to distrust his own spies, and from 1937 on, they were quietly being recalled, broken in interrogation, and executed by the tens of thousands. Among these was Edmundo Peluzzo, who, like so many hundreds of thousands of others, had committed no treason against the Soviet Union. Then suddenly, late on the night of 13-14 May 1938, the Soviet police came to Peluzzo's Moscow apartment and arrested him. What transpired next was his first interrogation by two officers of the People's Commissariat of Internal Affairs, the NKVD, the antecedent of the KGB. We only know precisely what transpired in that first interrogation because early in 1940, 2 years after his arrest, Peluzzo was visited by a close friend who probably said something like this: "Edmundo, what have these bastards done to you? You look like shit. These men will be punished for what they have done to you. I assure you, I will take your case directly to Comrade Stalin if I have to. Heads will roll for what they have done." And so Peluzzo, gratified by his friend's attentions, sat down and wrote in his own unsteady hand a description of precisely what he had experienced since his arrest. I focus in particular on the first interrogation, which occurred less than 3 weeks after Peluzzo's arrest and incarceration in Moscow. "The first torture began, if my memory does not betray me, on the 14th of May. The last was in August 1938. Two, then four men took part in this torture. On the 4th of June, at 4 o'clock in the morning, four men, armed with different instruments, savagely beat me for almost 40 minutes. So that I would not lose consciousness, they hung me upside down with my legs in the air and dragged me through a large room. Then they furrowed my back with a belt buckle to the point that I almost lost consciousness. The result of this was, as the doctor at La Fortova determined, a blood clot in the veins of my back and a serious contusion of my spinal column. I still feel the pain today. Then the torture was continued under the direction of investigators Arsenovich and Krepkin, as a result of which my side was broken and I was spitting up blood. Only after this savage method, in order to force me to recognize my guilt, did the interrogator Arsenovich say to me, 'We don't want to kill you, but merely compel you to sign the confession which we want.' I was supposed to resign myself to this. In order to be saved from my inquisitors as soon as possible, I, and as much as Krepkin, added that the Communist Party required this of me, signed the affidavit in which I admitted guilt to all sorts of crimes.